the weakness until other riders could arrive to strengthen those wards.
Good idea, Devera nods. And what riders are the most logical choice to help rebuild wards in this particular mountain pass?
Third years, I answer.
Go on, Devera tilts her head at me.
Third years are taught to build wards, and at this point in the year they're leaving anyway, I shrug. May as well send them early so they can be of use.
Point fucking made. I slam my shield down and block him out.
That's a logical choice, Devera says. And that's all we have for today. Don't forget that you should be preparing for the last exercise of war games before graduation. Also, we expect each and every one of you in the courtyard in front of Basgaiath tonight at 9 for fireworks to celebrate Reunification Day. Dress uniforms only. She lifts her brows at Riddick. He shrugs.
What else would I be wearing?
One never knows what you'll come up with, Devera says, dismissing us.
Anything I need to know about what's going on between you and...
Liam raises his eyebrows at me as we gather our things. Absolutely nothing is going on between us. Not one damn thing, I insist. If Zayden doesn't want to see if there might be more between us, message received. I turn to Rhiannon.
So, are you excited to finally be able to write to your sister in 10 days?
She grins.
I've been writing her once a month since we got here. Now I finally get to post them.
At least one good thing is coming with graduation. We'll all be able to talk to our loved ones again.
Later that night, I adjust the sash across the bodice of my black dress uniform and tuck a loose strand of my hair back into the pretty arrangement Quinn helped me with earlier before meeting Rhiannon in the hallway. She's unbound her hair from its usual braided, protective style, and the tight coils form a beautiful halo around her face, which she's dusted with gold-tinted blush. Her chosen option of sleek, tailored dress pants and a cross-body doublet that cuts across her torso on the diagonal looks phenomenal on her taller frame.
Hot, I say with a nod as she tugs on her sash.
I went the high-neck, sleeveless option to hide my armor and the flowing floor-length skirt with the slit up the thigh, which Devera told me was for mobility in case of attack. Personally, I'm not against the flash of thigh it gives when I move, especially with all the work I've put in to strengthen my legs with Imogen. My sash is simple, the same black satin as everyone else's, with my name embroidered just beneath my shoulder and the star of a first year.
I heard there's going to be a mob of infantry guys there, Nadine says as she joins us.
Don't you prefer a little brain with your brawn?
Riddick slides right in, Sawyer at his side.
You did not try to leave without me, Liam shouts as he runs forward, darting through the crowd as we move toward the staircase that leads to Basgaiath's main campus.
I was hoping you'd be given the night off, I answer truthfully as he reaches my side.
Don't you look handsome?
I know, he preens sarcastically, straightening his sash over a midnight black doublet. I've heard healer cadets have a thing for riders.
Hardly, Rhiannon laughs. As often as they have to put us back together? I bet they're more into scribes.
What are scribes into?
Liam asks me as we descend the stairs in a sea of black, taking the path we tread every morning toward the archives.
Seeing as you were almost one of them?
Usually other scribes, I answer. But I guess riders in my father's case.
I'm just excited to see some people who aren't riders, Riddick says, holding open the door so we can pass through the tunnel. It's getting kind of incestuous around here.
Agreed, Rhiannon nods.
Oh, whatever. You and Tara have been on again, off again all year, Nadine says, then blanches.
Shit, are you off again?
We're taking a breather until parapet, she says, and we enter the healer quadrant.
Hard to believe we'll be second years in a little more than 2 weeks, Sawyer says.
Hard to believe we've survived, I add. There was only one name on the death roll this week, a third year who didn't come back from an overnight mission. By the time we make it to the courtyard, the party is in full swing. There's a blend of pale blue for the healers, cream for the scribes, and the navy blue uniforms of the infantry more than overwhelming the scattered black uniforms. There must be 1,000 people or more in here. Mage lights hang above us in the form of 12 chandeliers, and drapes of rich velvets cover the stone walls of Bezgaeth, transforming the functional outdoor space into a ballroom of sorts. There's even a string quartet playing in the corner. Where are you? I ask Zayden, but there's no answer. We all seem to scatter as we enter, but Liam stays at my side, as tense as the string on my crossbow. Tell me you're wearing your armor under all that. You think someone is going to knife me in front of my mother? I gesture to the exposed balcony where Mom appears to be holding court, surveying her domain. Our gazes collide, and she whispers something to the man next to her, disappearing from view. Nice to see you, too. I think if anyone was going to knife you, now would be the time, especially knowing that killing you has a good chance of ending Fen Ryerson's son. His voice tightens. That's when I notice the stares of the officers and cadets around us. They're not gawking at my hair or the name on my sash. No, their gazes widen at Liam's wrist and the visible swirls of his rebellion relic. I hook my arm through his and lift my chin. I'm so sorry. There is absolutely nothing for you to be sorry about. He gives my hand a reassuring pat. Of course there is, I whisper. Oh, gods. Everyone is here to gather in celebration of the end of what he and the others call the apostasy. They're celebrating his mother's death. You can go. You should go. This is... I shake my head. I go where you go. His hand tightens over mine. A boulder lodges in my throat, and I scan the crowd, instinctively knowing that he's not here. There's no Garrick, no Bodhi, no Imogen, and definitely no Zayden. No wonder he was in such a shit mood today. This isn't fair to you. I glare at the infantry officer who has the nerve to look appalled at the sight of Liam's wrist. I highly doubt you enjoy celebrating the anniversary of your brother's death either. Liam holds himself with a dignity I could never imagine. Brennan would hate all of this, I gesture to the crowd. He was more about getting the work done than celebrating its completion. Yeah, sounds like. His words die, and I squeeze his arm tighter as I note the separating crowd before us. King Tari walks at my mother's side, and from the direction of his wide, toothy smile, he's headed this way. A purple sash crosses his doublet, pinned to his chest by 12 medals he's never won from 100 battlefields he's never stepped foot on. Mom's medals are all earned, and they adorn her black sash like jewelry as it drapes across her high-necked, long-sleeved dress uniform. Go, I hiss at Liam in a whisper, forcing a smile for my mother's sake as General Melgrin joins them. Melgrin may be brilliant, but he's also unnerving as fuck to be around. When your greatest danger approaches, I think not. His spine straightens. I'm going to rip Zayden's gorgeous head off for forcing Liam through this. Your Majesty, I murmur, dropping a foot behind me like Mira taught me, and bending as I bow my head, noting that Liam has bowed at the waist.
Your mother tells me you've bonded with not one but two exceptional dragons, King Tari says, smiling under his mustache. Yes, she is quite confident in your power, Melgrin adds, his smile icy as he stares at me in blatant appraisal.
I would not say the same at this time, I answer with a polite smile. I've spent enough time around egotistical generals, politicians, and royalty to know when to be humble. I'm still learning how to wield.
Don't be so modest, daughter, Mom chides. From what her professors say, they've only seen a gift this powerful a few times in the last decade, in Brennan and the Ryerson boy.
That boy is a 23-year-old man, but I know better than to correct her and put an even bigger target on Zayden's back.
And your gift? King Tari asks Liam.
Farsight, your majesty,
Liam responds. Melgrin's eyes narrow on Liam's exposed rebellion relic, then rise to his sash.
Mari, as in Colonel Mari's son?
I squeeze his arm tighter against mine in silent support, and Mom notices.
Yes, General, though I was mostly brought up by Duke Lindell at Tervain.
His jaw flexes, but that's the only physical sign of his discomfort.
Ah, King Tari nods. Yes, Duke Lindell is a good man, a loyal man.
The superiority in his air makes me want to snatch the medals off his chest.
I have him to thank for my fortitude, Majesty.
Liam plays the game well.
Yes, you do,
Melgrin nods again, his gaze scanning the crowd.
Now tell me, where is the Ryerson boy? I always like to lay my eyes on him once a year and make sure he's not causing trouble.
No trouble, I answer, earning a swift glare from Mom. He's our wing leader, actually. He saved my life when we were on the front lines at Montserrat.
By making me leave instead of staying to help, but still, he deserves the credit for me not distracting Mira and getting her, myself, and Tairn killed. Zayden's done more than save me. He believed me when I told him Amber led the unbondeds to my room. He had an entire arsenal of daggers crafted just for me. He designed a saddle for Tairn so I can ride into battle with my peers. He'd protected me when I needed and taught me to defend myself so I wouldn't require protection forever. And when others are quick to stand in front of me, Zayden always stands at my side, trusting me to hold my own.
But I don't say any of that.
What's the point? Zayden wouldn't give a fuck what these people think of him. So I won't either. Instead, I just continue to offer a simpering smile, seemingly in awe of the powerful men before me.
Their dragons are mated, Mom offers, her smile chilling. So she's grown quite close to him out of necessity.
Out of lust and need and the ache in my chest I'm terrified to define. But sure, necessity works.
That's excellent, King Tari beams. It's good to have a Sorengale on lookout for us. You'll let us know if he decides to, oh, I don't know, he laughs, start another war.
Melgrin is fully capable of seeing the outcome of any such absurdity, and yet he stares at Liam and me with unnerving focus. My entire body tenses. I can assure you he's loyal.
So where is he? King Tari scans the courtyard. I asked that they all be here, all marked ones.
But I just saw him a little earlier. I smile through the not quite lie. Battle brief was earlier. I'd check the edges. He's not much for parties.
Oh, look, there's Dane Atos, Mom says, nodding somewhere behind my shoulder. He'd be so humbled if you said hello, she prompts the king. Of course.
The three of them walk off, leaving Liam and me standing in complete silence as we pivot to watch them, so we don't accidentally turn our backs on the king. I feel like I've just survived certain death, or at least some kind of natural disaster.
I'm going to kill him for making you come to this, I mutter under my breath as Dane greets the king with perfect manners. Zayden didn't make me come.
What?
My gaze jumps to his. He'd never ask this of me, never ask it of anyone. But I told him I would keep you safe, and that's what I'm doing. Keeping you safe.
He flashes a crooked smile.
You are a good friend, Liamari. I rest my head on his arm. You saved my life, Violet. The least I can do is grin and bear it through a fucking party. I'm not sure I can grin and bear it. Not with the way people constantly glance at his wrist, like he's the one who personally led the army to the border. Dane smiles as the king takes his leave, then glances over his shoulder, meeting my gaze and heading our way. He grins, and it's all too easy to remember how many events just like this we've attended together over the years. His touch is gentle when he cups my cheek.
You look beautiful tonight, Vi.
Thank you, I smile.
You look fabulous yourself.
His hand falls away as he turns to Liam.
Has this one tried to escape yet? She's always hated these things.
Not yet, but the evening is young, Liam replies. Dane must read the tense lines of Liam's face because his smile slips when he looks back at me.
The staircase is about 5 feet to our right. I'll distract while you slip away.
Thank you, I nod in thanks, offering him a soft smile. Let's get out of here, I say to Liam.
Once we're out of the party and back in the Riders' Quadrant, I walk straight into the courtyard and ground, letting power swirl around and through me. I sense the golden energy from Andarna, the blazing power from Tarn that connects me to Sigael, and finally, the shimmering shadows of Zayden. I open my eyes, tracing the ebb and flow of that shimmering shadow, and I know he's somewhere in front of me.
Liam, you know I adore you, right?
Well, that's nice.
Go away. I walk straight ahead through the courtyard.
What? Liam catches up to me. I can't just leave you out here by yourself.
No offense, but I can fry this entire place with a lightning bolt if I want to. And I need to see Zayden, so go.
I pat his arm and keep striding toward the feeling, using it to guide me.
I mean, your aim is shit, according to you, but I get the rest, he calls out, falling behind.
I don't bother with a mage light as I pass the area where we usually stand in formation and keep walking toward the figures lounging against the only opening in this god's forsaken wall.
There's only one place Zayden can be.
Tell me he's not out there, I say to Garrick and Bodhi, whose features I can barely see in the moonlight.
I could tell you that, but I'd be lying, Bodhi remarks, rubbing the back of his neck.
You're not going to want to see him. Not tonight, Sorengale.
Garrick warns with a grimace.
Self-preservation is a thing. Notice we're not with him and we're his best friends?
Yeah, well, I'm his... I open my mouth and shut it a few times because... Fuck if I know what I am to him. But the longing that holds my heart hostage, this driving need to be at his side because I know he's suffering, no matter if it means throwing myself headfirst into uncertainty, I can't deny what he is to me.
I kick off the leather slippers of my dress uniform. They're more of a hazard than anything. And in this wind, well,
we'll see how it goes. I'm just his.
For the first time since last year, I step up onto the parapet. Chapter 32. A quote from Addendum 4.2, The Treaty of Aresha.
As for the 107 innocents, the children of the executed officers, they now carry what shall be known as the Rebellion Relic, transferred by the dragon who carried out the king's justice. And to show the mercy of our great king, they will all be conscripted into the prestigious Riders' Quadrant at Bezgaeth, so they may prove their loyalty to our kingdom with their service or with their death.
Walking the parapet on conscription day is a certifiable risk. Walking the parapet in a dress uniform barefoot in the dark? Now this is madness. The first 10 feet, while I'm still inside the walls, are the easiest. And as I reach the edge, where the wind ruffles my skirt like a sail,
I start to doubt my plan.
It's going to be hard to get to Zayden if I fall to my death. But I see him sitting about a third of the way across the narrow stone bridge, staring up at the moon like it somehow adds to the burden he carries. And my heart fucking hurts. He had the lives of all 107 marked ones carved into his back, taking responsibility for them. But who takes responsibility, takes care of him? Everyone across the ravine is celebrating his father's death, and he's out here mourning it alone. When Brennan died, I had Mira and Dad, but Zayden's had no one.
You don't really know me, not at my core.
Isn't that how he replied when I told him that I'd end up falling for him? As if knowing him would somehow make me want him less. But everything I learn about him only makes me tumble harder and faster.
Oh, gods, I know this feeling.
Denying it doesn't make it any less true. My feelings are what they are. I haven't run from a challenge since I crossed this parapet a year ago, and I'm not about to start now. The last time I stood here, I was terrified. But the distance to the ground isn't what has my pulse pounding now. There's more than one way to fall. Shit, that ache in my chest burns brighter than the power coursing through my veins. I'm in love with Zayden. It doesn't matter that he's leaving soon, or that he probably doesn't feel the same for me. It doesn't even matter that he warned me not to fall for him. It's not an infatuation, our physical chemistry, or even the bond between our dragons that keeps me reaching in every way possible for this man. It's my reckless heart. I've kept out of his bed, out of his arms, because he's adamant I can't fall for him. But that ship has long sailed, so what's the point in holding back? Shouldn't I grab hold of every moment we can have while he's still here? I take the first step onto the narrow stone bridge and put my arms out for balance. It's just like walking along Tarn's spine, which I've done hundreds of times. Except I'm in a dress. And Tarn isn't going to catch me if I fall. He's going to be so pissed when he hears that I did this.
Already am.
Zayden's head snaps in my direction.
Violence?
I take a step, and then another, holding my frame upright with muscle memory I didn't have last year, and begin to cross. Zayden swings his legs up and then fucking jumps to his feet.
Turn around right now, he shouts.
Come with me. I call over the wind, bracing myself as a gust whips my skirt against my legs. Should have gone with the pants, I mutter and keep walking. He's already coming my way, his strides just as long and confident as if he was on solid ground, eating up the distance between us as I move forward slowly until we meet.
What the fuck are you doing out here? He asks, locking his hands on my waist.
He's in riding leathers, not a dress uniform, and he's never looked better.
What am I doing out here?
I'm risking everything to reach him. And if he rejects me, no, there's no room for fear on the parapet.
I could ask you the same thing.
His eyes widen.
You could have fallen and died.
I could say the same thing, I smile, but it's shaky. The look in his eyes is wild, like he's been driven past the point where he can contain himself in the neat, apathetic facade he usually wears in public. It doesn't scare me. I like him better when he's real with me anyway.
And did you stop to think that if you fall and die, then I can die?
He leans in and my pulse jumps.
Again,
I say softly, resting my hands on his firm chest right above his heartbeat. I could say the same thing. Even if Zayden's death wouldn't kill Sigale, I'm not sure I could survive it.
Shadows rise darker than the night that surrounds us.
You're forgetting that I wield shadows, Violence. I'm just as safe out here as I am in the courtyard.
Are you going to wield lightning to break your fall?
Fine, that's a good point. I, perhaps, did not think that part through as thoroughly as you, I admit.
I wanted to be close to him, so I got close. Parapet be damned.
You're seriously going to be the death of me.
His fingers flex at my waist.
Go back.
It's not a rejection. Not with the way he's looking at me. We've been sparring emotionally for the past month. Hell, even longer than that. And one of us has to expose our jugular. I finally trust him enough to know he won't go for the kill. Only if you do. I want to be wherever you are. And I mean it. Everyone else, everything else in the world can fall away, and I won't care as long as I'm with him.
Violence.
I know why you said you don't see a future for us. My heart races like it's trying to take flight as I blurt out the words.
Do you?
Of course he isn't going to make this easy. I'm not sure the man even knows what easy is.
You want me, I say, looking him in the eyes.
And no, I'm not just talking about in bed. You want me, Zayden Ryerson. You might not say it, but you do one better and show it. You show it every time you choose to trust me, every time your eyes linger on mine. You show it with every sparring lesson you don't have time for and every flight lesson that pulls you away from your own studies. You show it when you refuse to touch me because you're worried I don't really want you. Then show it again when you take the time to hunt down violets before a leadership meeting so I don't wake up feeling alone. You show it in a million different ways. Please, don't deny it. His jaw flexes, but he doesn't deny it. You think we don't have a future because you're scared that I won't like who you really are behind all those walls you keep. And I'm scared too, I can admit it. You're graduating, I'm not. You'll be gone in a matter of weeks, and we're probably setting ourselves up for heartbreak. But if we let fear kill whatever this is between us, then we don't deserve it. I lift one hand to the back of his neck. I told you that I was the one who would decide when I'm ready to risk my heart. And I'm saying it. The way he looks at me, with the same mix of hope and apprehension currently flooding my system, gives me absolute life.
You don't mean that, he says, shaking his head.
And there he goes, sucking the life right out again. I mean it.
If this is about the Imogen thing,
it's not. I shake my head, the wind catching the curls Quinn spent so much time on. I know there's no one else. I wouldn't be walking the parapet in the middle of the night if I thought you were playing me. His brow furrows and he pulls me in closer against the warmth of his body.
Then what made you even think that?
I have to admit it pissed me off. I've given you exactly zero reasons to think I'm in anyone else's bed.
Which means he's only in mine.
My own insecurities and the way she looked at you and Garrick sparring? You might not have a thing for her, but she definitely has one for you.
I know that look.
It's the same look I have when I'm watching you. Embarrassment heats my cheeks. I could change the subject or deflect, but it's not going to do our relationship, if that's even what this is, any favors if I hide my feelings, no matter how weak the irrational ones might make me seem.
You're jealous, he bites back a smile.
Maybe, I admit, then decide that answer is half-assed. Fine, yes, she's strong and fierce and has that same ruthless streak you do. I've always thought she was a better match for you.
I know the feeling well. He shakes his head. And you are strong and fierce and have a ruthless streak, too. Not to mention you're the smartest person I've ever met. That mind of yours is sexy as hell.
Imogen and I are just friends.
Trust me, she wasn't looking at me. And even if she were,
he pauses, his hand slipping to cradle the back of my head as he holds us steady despite the gusting wind.
Gods help me. I'm only looking at you.
Hope is a stronger buzz than anything they were serving at the party.
She wasn't looking at you?
No. Rethink what you just said, but take me out of the equation. He lifts his brows, waiting for me to come to the right conclusion.
But on the sparring mat,
my eyes widen.
She has a thing for Garrick.
Catching on fast, aren't you?
I am.
Are you done pushing me away? He draws back, searching my eyes in the moonlight before glancing over my shoulder.
You done putting yourself in harm's way to get your point across?
Probably not. He sighs.
There's only you, Violence. Is that what you needed to hear?
I nod.
Even when I'm not with you, there's only you. Next time, just ask.
You've never had a problem being bluntly honest with me. Wind blows around us, but he's as immovable as the parapet itself.
As I remember, you've even thrown daggers at my head, which I greatly prefer over watching you get tangled up in your thoughts.
If we're going to do this, then we have to trust each other.
And you want to do this? I hold my breath. He sighs, long and hard, then admits.
Yes.
His hand slides up and he caresses my cheek with his thumb.
I can't make you any promises, Violence, but I'm tired of fighting it.
Yes. One word has never meant so much to me. Then I blink, remembering his previous comment about jealousy.
What do you mean you know the feeling of jealousy well?
His hands tighten on my waist and he looks away.
Oh no, if I have to trust you and tell you what I'm thinking, then I expect the same from you.
I'm not going to be the only vulnerable one out on this ledge. He grumbles, dragging his gaze back to mine.
I saw Atos kiss you after threshing and nearly lost my shit.
If I didn't already love him, that might have pushed me over the edge.
You wanted me then?
I've wanted you from the first second I saw you, Violence, he admits. And if I was short with you today, well, it's just a shit day.
I understand. And you know Dane and I are just friends, right?
I know that's how you feel, though I wasn't sure back then.
He runs his thumb over the swell of my lips.
Now get your ass back on solid ground.
He wants to stay out here and wallow.
Come with me.
My fingers grasp the material of his flight leathers, ready to tug him along if I have to. He shakes his head and looks away.
I'm not in a place to take care of anyone tonight.
And yes, I know that's a shitty thing to say, since it's the anniversary of losing Brennan.
I know.
I slide my hands down his arms.
Come with me, Zayden.
Vi. His shoulders dip, and the sadness that permeates the air between us puts a lump in my throat.
Trust me.
I step back out of his arms and take his hands.
Come on.
A moment of tense silence passes before he nods once, moving forward and holding me steady while I turn around. I'm much better at this than I was last July.
So I see.
He stays close, one hand on my waist as I walk the last part of the parapet.
In a fucking dress.
It's a skirt, actually, I say over my shoulder, only feet away from the wall.
Eyes forward, he grumbles.
And it's only the fear in his tone that keeps me from doing something arrogant like skipping the last few feet. The second we're within the confines of the wall, he hauls me against him, my back to his front.
Don't ever put your life at risk over something as trivial as talking to me again.
It's as low as a growl against my ear, sending a shiver down my spine.
Next year is going to be so much fun, I tease, walking forward and lacing my fingers with his so he follows.
Liam will be here next year to make sure you're not doing asinine things, he mutters.
You're going to love getting his letters, I promise, jumping the final foot off the parapet to the courtyard below.
Huh. I glance around the empty courtyard while putting my slippers back on. Garrick and Bodhi were just here.
They probably know I'm going to kill them for letting you out there.
A dress, Soren Gale, really? I take his hand in mine and head across the courtyard.
Where are we going?
He sounds just as much the asshole as the day I met him.
You're taking me to your room, I say over my shoulder as we approach the dormitory.
I'm what?
I throw open the door, grateful for the mage lights that make it easy to see him now, sneer and all. You're taking me to your room.
Turning left, I lead us past the hallway to my room and then start up the wide spiral staircase.
Someone will see, he argues. It's not my reputation I'm worried about, Soren Gale. You're a first year, and I'm your wing leader.
Pretty sure everyone already knows. We set half the forest on fire that night, I remind him as we climb past the door to the second year hallway. Did you know that the first time I climbed these steps with Dane, I was horrified that there wasn't a handrail?
Did you know I can't stand to hear his name on your lips while you're leading the way to my room?
He trudges up the steps behind me, shadows curling from the wall as if they sense his mood and want nothing to do with it. But his shadows don't scare me. There's nothing about this man that scares me anymore except the magnitude of my feelings for him.
Point is, and now look at me. I grin as we reach the third year floor, and I push open the arched door, all but dancing on the parapet in a dress.
Probably not a good time to remind me.
He follows me into the hallway. It looks like the second year floor, except there are fewer doors and a high vaulted roof.
Which one is yours?
I should make you guess, he mutters, but keeps my fingers laced with him as we walk to the end of the massively long hall. Of course, it's the last one.
Fourth wing, I scoff. Always has to go the farthest. He unweaves his own wards and opens his door, standing back so I can walk in first.
I'm going to have to either ward your new door before I go, or teach you how in the next 10 days.
I'm not thinking about the looming deadline of his departure as I step into his room for the first time. It's twice as big as mine, and so is the bed.
Surviving to third year has some serious perks. Or maybe the size reflects his rank, who knows.
It's immaculately clean, with a large armchair by the bed, dark gray rug, wide wooden armoire, tidy desk, and a bookshelf that gives me instant envy. A sword rack consumes the area beside the door, complete with so many daggers that I can't possibly count them all. And across the space, next to the desk, stands a throwing target just like I have in my room. There's a table and chairs in the corner, and his window faces Bezgaeth, but is framed by thick black curtains with Fourth Wing's emblem on the bottom.
We do leadership meetings for the sections in here sometimes, he says from the doorway.
I pivot to find him watching me with curious eyes, like he's waiting for me to pass judgment on his space. Walking past the sword rack, I let my fingers graze across the handles of the different daggers.
How many challenges have you won, anyway?
The better question is, how many have I lost, he says,
coming in and closing the door behind him.
There's the ego I know and love so much, I mutter, making my way to the bed, which, just like mine, is outfitted in black.
Have I told you how beautiful you look tonight? His voice lowers. If not, I'm a fool, because you are magnificently beautiful.
Heat rises in my cheeks and my mouth curves into a smile. Thank you. Now sit. I pat the edge of his bed.
What?
His eyebrows rise. Sit, I order, staring him down.
I don't want to talk about it.
I never said you had to. There's no need to ask what it is, nor am I going to let what happened nearly 6 years ago drive a wedge between us, not even for one night. To my absolute surprise, he does as I ask, sitting on the side of his bed. His long legs stretch out in front of him, and he leans back slightly on the heels of his hands.
Now what?
I move between his thighs and run my fingers through his hair.
He closes his eyes and leans into my touch, and I swear I feel my heart crack wide open. Now, I take care of you. His eyes fly open, and gods, are they beautiful. I've memorized every gold fleck in those onyx depths. And it's a good thing, since I don't know where he'll be sent after graduation. Seeing him once every few days isn't the same as being able to touch him anytime I like. Leaving his hair, I sink to my knees before him.
Violet?
I'm just taking off your boots. A smirk plays at my lips as I unlace one, then the other, taking them off. I rise and carry his boots toward the armoire.
You can just leave them there, he blurts.
I put them on the floor next to the armoire and walk back. I wasn't going to go snooping through your clothes, and it's not like I haven't seen them all anyway. His gaze locks on my skirt, heating every time the slit reveals a section of my thigh.
You've been wearing that all night?
That's what you get for walking behind me, I tease, coming to stand between his thighs again.
I can't really argue about the view from the back, either.
He tilts his chin to look up at me. Be quiet, and let me get this off you. I undo the line of diagonal buttons across his chest, and he shrugs out of the leathers. Were you flying tonight?
It usually helps.
He nods as I lean over to set them on the armchair.
This day is always...
I'm sorry. I look him in the eyes as I say it, hoping he knows how very much I mean it, as I return, reaching for his shirt.
I'm sorry, too.
He lifts his arms, and I tug the shirt off before putting it with the flight jacket.
You have nothing to be sorry about.
I keep my eyes on his as I cup the unrelenting angles of his face, then trace the scar that bisects a brow.
Challenge?
Segale, he shrugs, threshing.
Most dragons scar their riders, but Taranen and Darna have never hurt me, I say absentmindedly, my hand slipping down his neck.
Or maybe they knew you already carried a scar.
He trails his fingers down the long silver scar on my arm from Tynan's blade.
I wanted to fucking kill them, and instead, I had to stand there and watch them go at you 3-on-1. I was at the edge of my control and ready to step in when Taran landed.
It was only 2-on-1 once Jack ran, I reminded him. And you couldn't have interfered. It's against the rules, remember?
But he took that step. That single step that told me he would have.
A corner of his mouth quirks into one of the sexiest smirks I've ever seen.
At the end of the day, you walked away with 2 dragons. His expression falls.
2 weeks from now, I won't even be here to watch when you're challenged, let alone do anything about it.
I'll be fine, I promise. Whomever I can't beat in a challenge, I'll just poison.
He doesn't laugh.
Come on. Let's get you to bed. I lean in and kiss the scar on his eyebrow.
It will be tomorrow when you wake up. I don't deserve you.
His arm curls around my hips and he tugs me closer.
But I'm going to keep you all the same.
Good. I lean in and brush my lips over his. Because I think I'm in love with you. My heart beats erratically and panic claws up my ribcage. I shouldn't have said it. His eyes flare wide and his arms tighten around me.
You think? Or you know. Be brave.
Even if he doesn't feel the same, at least I will have spoken my truth.
I know.
I'm so wildly in love with you that I can't imagine what my life would even look like without you in it. And I probably shouldn't have said that, but if we're doing this, then we're starting from a place of complete honesty. He crushes his mouth to mine and pulls me fully into his lap so I'm straddling him. He kisses me so deep that I lose myself in it, in him. There are no words as he takes off my sash, my top, and unbuttons my skirt, all without breaking the kiss.
Stand, he says against my lips. Zayden, my heart thunders. I fucking need you, Violet, right now. And I don't need anyone. So I'm not quite sure how to handle this feeling, but I'm giving it my best. And if you don't want this tonight, that's fine, but I'm going to need you to walk out that door right now, because if you don't, I'm going to have you naked on your back in the next 2 minutes. The intensity in his eyes and the vehemence of his words should frighten me, but they don't. Even if this man loses every ounce of his self-control, I know he'll never hurt me. Not with his body, at least. Walk away or stay, but either way, I need you to stand up, he begs.
I think 2 minutes might be overestimating your skills with a corset. I glance down at my armor. He grins and lifts me from his lap. My feet hit the floor. I'm timing you.
Is that one?
Two, I hold up my fingers. Three, he's on his feet in a heartbeat, and then his mouth is on mine, and I stop counting. I'm too busy chasing the strokes of his tongue, feeling the ripple of his muscles beneath my fingertips to give a shit where my clothes are going. I feel air rush against my legs as my skirt hits the floor, and I help him out by kicking off my slippers while I suck on his tongue. He groans, his hands flying over my back. Laces loosen in record time, and the corset falls to the floor, leaving me in my underwear, since there wasn't much else fitting underneath the dress uniform. Daggers, both his and mine, hit the ground as he unstraps the sheaths at my thighs and undoes his own. It's a glorious cacophony of metal until we're both naked and he's kissing me, breathless. Then his hands are in my hair, and pins fly until the mass falls down my back, unbound. He pulls back only long enough to rake his ravenous gaze down my body.
So fucking beautiful.
I think that might have been a little longer than two, I start, but he grabs the back of my thighs and lifts, sweeping my feet out from underneath me. My back hits the bed with a slight bounce, and honestly, I should have seen that move coming, given he's been putting me on my back for the better part of a year now.
Still counting? He asks, dropping to his knees beside the bed and dragging me across the soft coverlet to the edge.
Do you need me to keep score? I tease as my ass hits the end of the bed.
Feel free, he grins,
and before I can get another word in, his mouth is between my thighs. I suck in a sharp breath and throw my head back at the sheer pleasure of his tongue licking and swirling around my clit.
Oh, God, which one are you calling out for? He asks against my flesh. Because it's just you and me in this room, Vi, and I don't share.
You, my fingers tangle in his hair. I'm calling out for you.
I appreciate the elevation to deity, but my name will do.
He licks me from entrance to clit, finally flicking his tongue over that sensitive bud, and I moan.
Fuck, you taste good.
He lifts my thighs up onto his shoulders and settles in like he has nowhere else to be tonight. Then he absolutely devours me with tongue and teeth. Pleasure, hot and insistent, spirals in my stomach, and I'm lost in sensation, my hips rising and falling as I chase the high he drives me toward with every expert stab of his tongue. My thighs tremble when he takes up a rhythm against my clit and drives two fingers inside me. They lock when he strokes his fingers in time with his tongue. Mindless. I'm simply mindless. Power rushes through me in a deluge, mingling with the pleasure until they're one and the same, and when he tips me over the edge of oblivion. It's his name, I scream, as that power whips outward with every wave of my climax. Thunder booms, shaking the paneled glass in Zayden's windows.
That's one, he says, kissing his way up my limp body. Though I do think we're going to have to work on the fireworks show, or people are always going to know what we're doing.
Your mouth is... I shake my head as his hands slide under me, moving us to the center of his bed. There are no words for that.
Delicious, he whispers,
his lips skimming the plane of my stomach.
You are absolutely delicious. I never should have waited this long to get my mouth on you.
I gasp when he sucks the peak of my breast into his mouth, his tongue lashing and stroking my nipple as he works the other between thumb and forefinger, setting a whole new fire within me built on the embers of the first. By the time he gets to my neck, I'm a writhing flame beneath him, touching every part of him I can reach, stroking my hands down his arms, his back, his chest. God, this man is incredible. Every line of him carved for battle and built by sparring and swordplay. Our mouths meet in a deep kiss, and I can taste us both in it as I draw my knees upward, settling his hips right where they're meant to be, between my thighs. Violet, he groans, and I can feel the head of him at my entrance.
I don't get equal time to play, I tease, arching my hips so he slides against me and makes my own breath catch with emotion.
He nips my lower lip. You can play all you want later, if I can have you right now. Yeah, that's a plan I can get with.
You already have me.
His gaze collides with mine as he hovers above me, bracing his weight to keep from crushing me.
You have everything I have to give.
That's enough. For now. I nod, arching my hips again. Eyes lock with mine. He pushes into me with one long roll of his hips, consuming every inch and then taking another until he's seated to the hilt. The pressure, the stretch, the fit of him is beyond words.
You feel so damn good.
I roll my hips because I can't help myself.
I could say the same thing about you.
He smiles, using my own words from earlier against me.
Hard, deep, and slow.
He sets a rhythm that has me arching for every thrust as we come together again and again and again. He drives us up the bed, and I throw my arms back, bracing against the headboard for leverage as I meet every plunge of his hips.
God, each is better than the last. When I urge him to move faster, he gives me a wicked grin and takes me at the same mind-blowing, heart-jolting pace.
I want this to last. I need this to last. But I'm...
That fire in my core is coiled tight and so ready to burst free that I can almost taste how sweet it will be.
I know. He drives forward again and I whimper at how fucking good it feels.
Just stay with me.
He adjusts the angle so he hits my clit with every thrust and presses my knee forward, taking me even deeper. I'm not going to survive this. I'm going to die right here in this bed.
Then I'm going to die with you, he promises, kissing me.
I'm so far gone, I didn't even realize I said the words out loud, and then I remember that I don't have to.
More. I need more.
Power simmers beneath my skin and my legs lock.
You're almost there. Fuck, you feel so damn good around me. I'm never going to get enough of this, enough of you.
I love you. The words are so incredibly freeing, even if he doesn't say them back. His eyes flare and his control snaps as he pounds into me. And that coiled pleasure explodes as my powers whip out again, cracking through the room, shattering like glass as he throws his weight to the side, bringing me with him as he drives toward his own release, groaning into the side of my neck as the last waves of my orgasm leave me shuddering against him.
Long minutes pass before our breathing steadies, and a light breeze kisses my thigh that's thrown over his.
You're all right? He asks, brushing my hair back from my face.
I'm great. You're great. That was...
Great? He supplies.
Exactly.
I was going to use the word explosive, but I think great covers it.
His fingers tangle in my hair. I fucking love your hair.
If you ever want to bring me to my knees or win an argument, just let it down. I'll get the point.
I grin as the breeze rustles through the brown to silver strands.
Wait, there shouldn't be a breeze.
My stomach drops as I push myself up on an elbow to look over Zayden's shoulder.
Oh,
no, no, no. My hand covers my mouth as I glimpse the destruction. I'm pretty sure I blew your window out.
Unless there's someone else throwing lightning around, then yeah, that was you. See what I mean? Explosive.
He laughs. I gasp. That's why he threw himself sideways, to shield me from my own wreckage. I'm so sorry. I scan over the damage, but there's only sand on the bed. I'm going to have to get that under control.
I threw up a shield. Don't worry about it.
He pulls me back in for a kiss. What are we going to do? Repairing a window is on a whole different level from replacing an armoire.
Right now? He strokes my hair back from my face again.
That was two,
if we're still counting.
And I say we clean up, get the sand out of the bed, and get you to three,
maybe four if you're still awake.
My jaw drops. After I just shattered your window? He smiles and shrugs.
I've got us covered just in case you decide to take out the dresser next.
I gaze down at his body and the craving for him ignites again. How could it not when he looks like the gods blessed him and feels like the gods blessed me?
Yeah, let's go for three.
We're going for five, my hips in Zayden's hands while I slowly ride him, when I trail my fingers down the black swirls of the relic on his neck. I'm not sure how either of us is still moving, and yet we can't seem to stop tonight, can't get enough. It really is beautiful, I tell him, rising up only to sink back down again, taking him deep within me. His dark eyes flare as his hands flex. I used to think of it as a curse, but now I realize it's a gift. He arches his hips, hitting me at a sublime angle. A gift? Gods, he's robbing me of every thought. Someone pounds on the door.
Go the fuck away!
Zayden snarls, reaching up my back and hooking onto my shoulder to pull me down into his next thrust. I fall forward, muffling my moan in his neck.
I really wish I could.
There's enough regret in the voice that I believe it.
Someone better be dead if I get out of this bed, Garrick, Zayden retorts. I think there's a lot of people dead, which is why they're calling the full quadrant to formation, jackass,
Garrick growls. Both Zayden and I startle, our gazes colliding in shock. I slide off him and Zayden covers me with his blanket before shoving his legs into his leathers and striding for the door.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He asks through a tiny opening in the door.
Grab your flight leathers, and you better bring Sorengil with you too. Garrick says, we're under attack.
Chapter 33.
A quote from Major Ofendra's Guide to the Writer's Quadrant, unauthorized edition.
Inability to control a powerful signet is just as dangerous to a writer and everyone in their vicinity as never manifesting one. I've never gotten dressed so fast in my entire life, and I'm not even bothering with the thigh sheaths. What time is it? I ask Zayden, pulling on my formal dress and slippers and blowing my hair out of my face. Mandatory urgent formation for the entire quadrant means now. The wards are falling. How many Navarians are we going to lose? 4:15. He finishes lacing his boots, already armed to the teeth, as I'm picking up my sheaths, pretty sure I'm missing one of them.
You're going to freeze out there.
I'll be fine. I drop to my knees and locate the missing dagger, hauling it out by the strap of the sheath before standing again.
Here, Zayden throws one of his flight jackets over me, trapping my hair. If Garrick's right and we're under attack, then my guess is they'll order the older years to staff the Midgard posts, so you shouldn't be out in formation too long. I can't stand the thought of you being cold.
Which means he'll be leaving. My heart somersaults as I clumsily shove my arms through the sleeves of his jacket. He'll be safe, right?
It will just be a Midland assignment, and he's the most powerful rider in the quadrant. With my hands full of weapons, I don't argue about him buttoning the flight jacket over my chest.
We have to get to formation.
His hands cradle my face. And if I have to go, then don't worry. I'm sure Sigil will draw me back in a few days. He leans in and kisses me hard and quick.
Wanting you will be the death of me. Let's go.
The best thing about a war college in complete and utter chaos? No one notices when I slip out of my wing leader's room and into the sea of riders, all tugging on their own clothes to get to formation. Everyone is running on adrenaline, too busy getting their shit together to notice what I'm doing or the brief touch of Zayden's hand against mine before he heads toward leadership gathered near the dais in the courtyard. I'm not the only one still in my dress uniform either.
The wind has a bite to it as I make it into formation, but at least Zayden's flight jacket keeps my hair tucked away.
This is better be good because I was finally taking my shot with that gorgeous brunette healer.
Riddick whines as he steps into formation behind me. Liam stands to my right, still buttoning the top of his uniform. Good night, I ask Liam.
Fine, he mutters, his cheeks turning pink in the moonlight.
Anyone seen Dane? I ask Nadine as she steps into formation ahead of me.
All the squad leaders are with leadership,
she answers over her shoulder as Rhiannon jogs up. Rhi cracks a huge yawn, then glances my way and does a double take.
Violet Sorengale, she whispers, moving closer. Are you wearing Ryerson's flight jacket?
Liam's head snaps in my direction. Curse his stupidly good hearing.
Why would you say that?
I do a shitty job of feigning shock and shove the sheaths into every available pocket in this thing. All three of them, which are considerably deeper than the ones in my own jacket.
Oh, I don't know, because it's huge on you, and there are three stars right here.
She taps where there's only one star on her uniform.
Well, shit. Just goes to show that neither of us was thinking clearly. It could be any third years, I shrug. With a fourth wing,